May 15th. May 15th. Day before yesterday. Yeah. So it goes back to April 15th. In other words, there was 1 week of racing before. I have that here too, but why bother to go back? I'm having enough trouble keeping track of two pages. That's up to you. This place doesn't carry it, so you've got to get over to the Excalibur, to the Rio, to any of those places to get it. I don't know what to tell you. I had somebody deliver mine earlier. Okay, so I have tomorrow's form, but you can't have it. Well, they come out. What time do they come out? They usually come out around noon here, but yesterday at 5 o'clock it still wasn't in at the Excalibur. Some other questions here about, yes? Most of the time. Maiden claiming especially, although I noted it, I just note when it's a maiden claiming. That's the reason I knew a maiden claimer had gone wire to wire, because I'm really concerned, because I like to bet front-running type horses. I like to look at it and say, this horse got a pace edge, right? Except that it's killing you to do that here. Not killing me because I'm not betting them anymore, but you would, you know, if it ever turns, I'd like to be on top of it. Yes. Seven furlongs. There aren't many races. That's 16 seven furlong races. What do you suppose, just thinking about six and a half, what would you suppose seven is? Presser, what else? Sustained? Okay, it's early and pressers, almost universally. Only two closers have won, one of them won yesterday. But the horse seemed to have had a class edge and a nice setup in front. But it has been early, and early pressers have dominated at seven. And there's enough of a base to go with it. This is dirt. Yeah, there's no seven furlong turf race. I got it. Those of you that take my newsletter and my variants, I know that I didn't like the 3-year-olds in California. When AP Indy won the Santa Anita Derby, he won it by finishing a mile and an eighth. He finished his last fraction 10 lengths slower than another review did later in the afternoon as an older horse. And at that time, I just said, the 3-year-olds in California can't run. Well, now I'm kind of convinced the 3-year-olds across the country can't run. And AP Indy looks like he's improved quite a bit. So, I bet Pine Bluff in the Derby. Anybody wants to know, I lost the Derby. But I also bet him back in the Preakness. So I'm 1-for-2 there. But I really wasn't impressed. I thought Ali Deed was a much better looking runner in the Preakness. And he had a smoother way of going. And I think if he'd have been a little more seasoned, Pine Bluff would have never gotten him. I'm pretty sure of that. So I like AP Indy here. But I just think this is the worst 3-year-old crop in at least 5 years. At least. Yes. He's a bleeder. They didn't want to take him to New York. I mean, because he's still pretty unseasoned. That was his first try around two turns, was a Preakness. He's going to run this weekend in some states, yeah. I know he worked 58-2 the other day. I mean, he really had a... I really think he's probably the best of the whole bunch. So, yes. 7.5 furlongs. What I do with 7.5 furlongs is... I convert it to seven because the pars are very close. The first quarter is the same. The second call is about 0.3 seconds slower at 7.5, so I just change that arbitrarily if I have a 7.5 furlong race. The final, the $10,000 par at 7.5 at Hollywood Park is 129-4. The $10,000 par at seven furlongs is 123-2. So if a horse runs, for example, two lengths faster than that $10,000 par at 7.5, which would be 129-2, then I'll give him credit for having the same figure at seven furlongs, which would be 123 flat, and I'll make it a conversion. Because sprinter, so far at 7.5 furlongs, the routers do not win those races, and have not. The only router that wins those races are horses that can get the lead solidly in a route and then shorten up. Sprinters are dominating all of those races, and have been ever since they started the distance. And as far as the bias is concerned at 7.5, none. There's only a few races, and it's spread between early, presser, and closer. Okay. Not enough data. Yes, Ed?
As far as lengths back to the winners, are they right around 2.5 lengths?
At what distance? Well, if it's a okay, but if it's a presser, if it's a presser, beyond 2.5 or 3 lengths, I call it a closer. So you got to be up close. Okay. You got to be up close, and but in a route, not necessarily so. Although you still want pressers. Any other questions here? I think if you keep that in mind when you handicap Hollywood Park, you're going to have a leg up tomorrow, because this goes back to the beginning of the meeting. There's no reason it did not change yesterday to speak of, so there's no reason to think it would change today. You know, the favorites get beat if they're front running types. The favorites get beat going long at Hollywood Park, and we had another one yesterday in the second or third race on an easy lead. Frosty Lady had absolutely no competition, still didn't get there. They just don't. All right, I think we're about 5 minutes early. No more questions, so we'll take lunch. At 3 o'clock, we'll put Hambleton and Schmidt on their race.
Becomes his only second when you do not have that fifth horse in there. You still get him, but you get him more distinctly when you have the five horses in. This is why we say put in the five horses that represent the early, the presser, the sustained, and the sustained presser. Just want to make that point, so it should answer two questions. What is a neurosynaptic response system? Is that just some phony word to start me up to dazzle us? No. It is a real, existing, living entity within the program. Okay. This afternoon we have to get a back on some schedule. We're going to close at 6 o'clock. We're going to do a couple of very fast races between now and 6 o'clock. But the bulk of the afternoon between now and 6, which is 3 hours, so that will be taken by Dick, the tandem of Dick Schmidt and Tom Hambleton for phase one. Most of you are here, at least 40 of you are here because of the Pace Makes the Race book and the phase one concept, and so they will take quite a bit of time. But before they do that, we can take about 45 minutes shared by Dick Resch and Marion Jones. Turn to your manual and you'll find a race in there by Dick Resch, and Dick can run through this pretty fast. He won't. Dick, did you find where your race is?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, you come on up and take over. Tell them what page it's on. Then Marion Jones, and then we'll take a short break and give the rest of the afternoon to the tandem of Schmidt and Hambleton. Or as Tom likes to hear it, Hambleton and Schmidt. Here's the unsung hero of the Pacific, of the Bay Area of California, Dick Resch.
Sheriff
of the Bay Area. Got to be some of you out there. Let's see, I think this is on page 99, is it? 99 in your big manual, and 29 in this little cleaner. So everybody got that? That's a mile, sixth race. Okay, this is a mile race at Golden Gate Fields. As I mentioned to Howard, I handicapped this race at the racetrack, which is the way I like to handicap. Glenn mentioned before, if you have any kind of professional aspirations, this is a race that is not going to set the world on fire in terms of the mutual, but this is the type of race that you're going to have to get two out of three of these day in and day out. These are the type that are your basic races. And I'm going to tell you how I, this is, again, a lot of what you're going to hear today is individualistic. I've sat out there for a number of years, and much of what I use, I've learned from Tom Brohammer and Dick Schmidt and the rest of the fellows. My own personal style of handicapping is to, I always do the APVs. I don't use the class number. I never handicap a race without first having done the APVs. I don't necessarily pick my contenders using the APVs, but the APV number itself gives you a lot of clues when you're up in the air about a particular horse. It tells you. Just a small example. The other day I was over at our satellite wagering center and I was playing a turf race. There was one of the members of the Perco there. and the winner paid about $9, but the place horse paid over $20, and the exacta was like $300. I go by, and George is his name. He's not here, so he probably won't mind me using his name, but I went by, and George says to me, well, how did you get that place horse? Well, I looked down at his form, and I said, well, George, you're never going to even get a start on it, because he did not do the APVs. This is a race where seven of the contenders have about an APV of 60 to 80, and then there's this guy at 350. Now, you can't play horses at 350 automatically, but George did not know this horse was in the race. When you have a horse like that, you need to know he's in there. What you do with him after that is one thing, but you can't have a horse that's 350 APV and you don't even know that. He's going to hurt you somehow. Chances are a lot of those big APV horses, like Glenn said, you're not going to get them in the computer half the time. But if you're playing exactas, sometimes you want to use them on the bottom. So we'll go on to this race. So like I said, the first thing I do is I run APV on all of these horses. And I'm going to just run down them for you here. Inner member, APV 120. What a Breeze, I did not rate What a Breeze. Joyful Score is 93. Charge and Deliver is 164. Some Big Reason, 168. Ginny's Buck, 75. Secret Mint, 92. And So Snobby, 85. Okay, the next thing I do, and this is just taking a little bit out of Dick Schmidt and Tom Hambleton's, I look at the running styles. I just quickly go down. What you want to do on this is just don't spend more than 3 seconds on any one horse. Just gaze up and down the pace lines, try and figure out what you're dealing with. So on Inner Member, he's early presser. What a Breeze, I called him early presser. Full Score, another early presser. Charge and Deliver, early. Some Big Reason, presser. Ginny's Buck, it's a sprinter, probably run to the front, early presser. Secret Mint, wasn't too sure, I called him early presser. So Snobby is sustained. Now at this point, you just want to get a feel for what you're dealing with here. Obviously, you've got a field that's dominated by a number of early horses. So at this point, that's all you want to know. Just, okay, we've got a field with a lot of early horses. Okay, the next thing I do is I run them through the total pace program. And they're going to speak on that, so I'm just simply going to tell you the numbers. Intermember is 87, 73, 160.
Tell us what baseline you're using.
Yeah. Okay, that was off the last. Now I'll comment on each of these baselines.
Before we comment on that?
So it's 87, 73 on intermember. I used his last. I always rate the last line. That's what they're going to tell you. At least the last line. What a Breeze, just a word about What a Breeze. I did not rate this horse. You can see in his last race he was eased. It was in the slop. Now, I didn't give him an excuse because it's in the slop. And this is like local knowledge. Some horses don't like the slop, but they usually just run worse than they normally run. This horse just flat stopped. He was 13 lengths out of it. I chose to believe that he had some larger problem than just running in the slop. So, didn't do anything with him. Joyful Score, rated his last. That's a 93.86, 179. Charge and Deliver, same thing, last line. That's a 90.79, 169. Who's next? Okay, Some Big Reason. 93.85 off his last. That's a 178. Ginny's buck. Okay, let's say a word about Ginny's buck for a minute. This is a sprinter trying to stretch out. Now, what you've got to do there, if you're using the total pace, and again, I'm not going to speak on it in too much detail because you've got the experts coming up, but you just need to keep track of what's going on at your racetrack. So you check out the results charts, find out when sprinters are successfully stretching out, what TPR they ran before they raced, and what they ran afterwards. I use a minus six at Golden Gate when it says adjustment in your programs, minus six. And in using a minus six, Ginny gets... Well, they're going to speak on it, but for now, he wanted to know if I would expand on how I got the adjustment. I've kept track of what's going on at my racetrack, and the difference... Now you take a minus six, there's a spot in the most that you're going to use a computer program. And there's a spot where you put it in the program and it adjusts it. If you're doing it manually, I think they'll speak to it, but I just take it across the board in the computer program. It adjusts it at 60-40 and 65-35.
60-40.
Yeah.
It automatically adjusts it in the track.
It apportions it, but they'll speak to that. But just know that you need to know the differences. You have to watch horses that successfully stretch out and then just get their numbers. You'll know. So after applying a minus six, an 86.78, 164. Okay, Secret Mint.
Was that the last baseline?
Yeah, the last one. Secret Mint is a 92.83. So you get a 175, and So Snobby, last baseline, is a 90.83. I'm rounding these. A lot of the programs give you one decimal of accuracy. Okay, so after I've done that, you've probably all read in the manuals, you can take the top five or arrange them in some way so you understand the race. In the book, you're going to see my little, what I call the total pace array. But just make columns or put an early presser and sustain and just kind of, and everybody see that? It's in the book. Just arrange the horses by running style. So you get a little visual impact what you've got. You've got five horses here that are going to run on or near the front. You've got one presser and a sustain. Now, Golden Gate Fields, the model is, if you're not within two lengths, just about any distance, you can forget it. So, your winner is going to be within two lengths at the second call. All right, so, now what I do, after I've done this, I try to visually understand how I think this race is going to be run. And you'll see from my notes that are in your book that my own personal idea of how this race, I try to visualize the races. I can't do it quite like Jimmy does, but I've had a great deal of success with trying to visualize how I think it's going to run. So I visualize that there are going to be two or three or four horses trying for on or near the lead, and I thought the race would be won by a horse slightly off the pace, a presser basically, but not a presser that's going to be way off the pace. Now just doing that, I'm looking for some big reason. Before I've even put it in the computer. And I don't put every race in the computer, but those that I do, I put in for a confirmation. But that's my own personal style. And so I entered into the computer Joy, Charge, Sum, Mint, and So. Now, I want to say one thing about some of these early horses. Because I see this frequently up in Northern California. I like to start off, and when I'm with people trying to help them, I ask them, who do you think is going to be in the lead? Now, the race starts when they open the gates. Not necessarily at the second call. Who's going to be in the lead, say, at the first call? And the people I work with, I want them to know who's going to be in the lead. first or second. You need to know that. If you don't know who's going to be out there, it's really going to be tough on you. You need to know how you think this race is going to run. And one of the deceptive things, if you're using Dick and Tom's numbers, is horses can get big numbers by virtue of having been in a very fast-paced race. But that doesn't mean they're going to be on the lead today. So you need to look for a horse, even though you might not have the top early pace number. It's a stylistic thing. Some horses will go to the front, whether they'll run their eyeballs out. Others, even though they have the top number, when the gate opens, they're not going out to the front. They like to be back with their buddies, and it doesn't matter. They might have the top number. In this race, although Charge and Deliver does not have the top number, I think that's the guy. If you look at the numbers I gave you, he's not the top early pace horse. But I felt like in this race that somewhere in the turn time, this horse was going to make the lead. And he did. And I wanted to know who was going to be out there. Your top total number, your early pace number. But I was confident he was going to be out there. With all of these early horses in there, I was also pretty sure he wasn't going to be out there at the end. And so after I've done that, visualized the race in my mind, and I visualized it by virtue of having entered in all these numbers, used the total pace numbers, looked at my own running styles, looked at your model, you put them in the computer. So we can just take a look at the computer. Okay, now I'm not sure. I think I okay, there we go. Okay, this is the first screen. This is the entry screen, and you're going to see that all of them are in. They're all in route. We took all the pace lines off of routes. You've only got one that ran at a mile. There's a couple of tandems in here. I look at the tandems, by the way, but I don't use them in quite the way that Jim does. I'm aware of them. I like to look at them, but one way I do use the tandems is I first look at the tandems. If there's a couple horses coming out of a tandem and I think it was the very best race, then I simply look for other horses to try and beat one or two or three members of the tandem. Otherwise, it's the tandem. So that's one way to use it. All right, so in here you've got only one horse with a different route distance. So we can go on to the next screen, Spencer. Okay, next one. Let's see, what's this? Okay, this is the, okay, what you want to do here, and this is what I do. Okay, these are raw, unadjusted. This is the kinetic generator. If you're using Thermation, start with the number 3, because that'll give you this. If you start with 1, you don't get it, I don't think. Do you?
That's correct.
Yeah. So you should always start with 3, because you need this. And here's what I look at, the total energy. Now, just about everybody's touched on this today. The way I look at it, I look at it and I want to know who's high and who's low. Now, when I see the low horse, I want to, in my mind, know why he's low. Now, there's a number of reasons he could be low, one of which is he's slow. So you got to guard against that. But if you've picked him out using TPR and you're satisfied that he's a contender based on total pace, then I don't worry about it too much, okay? Because you've already run him through a filter, the filter being TPR. And if you've come up with the top 5 there, then chances are he's still a contender. And after all, once you get him in the machine, I don't put horses in to look at him, because I believe like Tom does. If they come up and you put them in as an experiment, you're in a dilemma. So I only put them in unless I want to bet them. If I don't want to bet them, then they're not in there. So we've got some differences here, and it's going to be over 2. You can see a 160 and a 163. So I like to just look in my form and make sure I haven't messed up on my contender selection. But if I'm still happy with them and I can mentally understand why they have different total energies, and it becomes more obvious, like if you put a sprinter in and you're wanting to stretch him out, because then it's going to be 5 or 6 numbers different, or 7 even. So at this point, it appears we're going to use the number 2 adjustment. But Okay, go ahead on, Spencer. Okay, we're going to come back to something in a minute, but we'll put the number 2 on there. And then I always use the 9 first. Okay.
See, were there just 5?
Just 5.
I think I can slow that down.
You already won, don't worry about it.
Okay, so at this point, I'm looking for confirmation. I think I told you earlier I had visualized the race as a presser. There's only one presser in here, and it's some big reason. So the computer's in agreement, so I'm happy at this point. I'm ready to go to the window. Although, this is also a race where there are exactas. So I want to find out who I might couple with this horse in an exacta. I played 2 horses always, so there's going to be another horse. I think I might have played Joey. I don't remember. But let's go back to the number 6 preplay. Okay, so here's your preplay. It's saying the race is going to go other than early, sustained. And Chance is this bottom horse here. He was the guy that we predicted would probably take the lead somewhere around the second call. And you see this is your designated place. Now I put him, the reason I mention this is because some of these races, like this particular horse, I think the winner paid like some $6. But the exacta in here, which is a simple little like $10 exacta, was like $82. And these are the kind of grind 'em type profits you got to make every day. It's not exciting, but it's pretty simple. So, questions?
Hit the 6 again, Spencer.
Hit it again. Oh, you see the other screen early?
Notice that the designated place horse is designated place horse on both early and late. That's a dynamite piece.
Okay. Who's got a question? Yes. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. We've got the 2 experts on TPR. I just followed in their footsteps. So why don't we... Okay, go ahead.
Yes, on the TPR, when you're putting in those possible contenders, what baselines do you use?
Well, like I said, we've got the 2 experts here on that, so they're going to comment. But I think they're going to tell you rate the last baseline on every horse just to get a feel for his conditioning. It kind of leaves out the human error portion of it, unless the horse, you know, was beaten 30 lengths or something. But I always rate at least the last pace line just to get a feel for the horse. And beyond, I don't always use the last pace line, but primarily, I mean, I do use the last pace line probably 90% of the time. I'm not a way back machine person. We've got people that like to go back. I don't like to go back unless there's a really bad trouble line or something. I use the last pace line. I'll adjust it. I'll do whatever I have to do, but that's the way I like to handicap. But they're going to tell you exactly how to use all the total pace. They're the authors. They're the experts. I just use it to get my contenders. Anybody else? Thanks.
Thank you, Dick.
How many of you play turf races or wager in turf races? You have a little difficulty in turf races. And how many of you do not know why you have difficulty in turf races? How many of you avoid them entirely? Well, turf races are in reality the most consistently easy to beat, if you'll pardon the expression, easy and beat. You're not part of our usual language, but we'll make an exception here. The man that we have kind of designated as our turf expert because he wins so many races on the turf, is Marion Jones. And so you'll get both Marion's expertise on handicapping and especially his expertise on handicapping on the turf. What page is his race on, folks? 15? 66? 16? Huh? 1-6. That's 16, yes. And here he is, Marion Jones. I don't think Marion Jones wants you to flash the race. You can see anything you want by looking at the manual.
We're not going to go through the race on the board. First of all, we don't have a lot of time because we've got some very important things that are going to come up for a lot of new people that came in, especially for it, and that's with Dick Smith and the other gentleman there. So we want to talk a little bit about turf racing anyway, because turf racing, a lot of you live where they do have turf races, or they do bring them in by satellite. And if they bring a turf race in by satellite, you want to be able to bet it, because usually it's a graded stakes race. So first of all, before I get into the manual, I want to talk a little bit about turf racing to the point, give you some idea about what happens, what you can look for, and when we look at this race, which will only take us just a few minutes to look at, you'll have some general idea why the way I looked at that particular race and the way I look at all turf races. So I'm going to look at, and you just sit back, relax, and listen to what I say, and try to get a general idea about what I'm looking for and what I'm talking about. And this was a race that was run Saturday, May the 23rd at Hollywood Park on the turf. Now, this particular race was a mile and a 16th, the Will Rogers Handicap, grade 3. And usually we look to see if there are any graded horses that's been running in that kind of a race. And in this particular race, there was a horse in there by the name of Blue Tiger who had just won at Golden Gate. Another horse that had gone 6.5 furlongs on the turf in fair time, not good time, just fair time. And then there was a horse who had ran in graded stakes in France and had just won at San Anita, named Santree. Now this particular race, now we're talking about tandem, and this tandem concept is so potent, you want to remember that, and you'll notice it in everything we do that we look for the tandem concept. Now, in the race that Santree won, there was a horse in there, the horse's name is, the name's Jimmy. That was his name, the name's Jimmy. Now listen to this now, just listen. The name's Jimmy had gone the 25th day of March at Santa Anita on a slow track and finished 18 lengths back. In October at Hawthorne, he finished 9th. He finished 10.5 lengths back. In September at Arlington Park, he finished 10.5 lengths back. This horse hadn't done anything except he won an allowance $14,000 race at Calder last year in July. But on the first day of April, on a good turf, this year at Santa Anita, at 17.91, he missed by a neck. Now the next race out, he went against Santra, and he missed by a half in the Lepunte Stakes, which is a restricted stakes in California. Now this is a horse that's done what? He's found his home on the turf. The first time they put this horse on the turf, he goes a mile. In 1:36.3, he was up front all the way and just missed by a neck. And he comes back against a horse who's been running graded stakes in France, and he just missed again. Do you think he'll improve today? Darn right he's going to improve today. Now, there was another horse in there named Bold Assert. Now, Bold Assert is by Assert in Ireland, which was a turf horse. And so this Bold Assert, they were really betting him. He was down about 8-5. Yes? I'm not talking about page 16. I told you I wasn't going to use the manual right now. The manual will come a few seconds later. I'm just giving you some impressions about what happened in turf races, and we're going to see the repeating same thing in this next race we're going to do out of the manual. Okay. Now, what happened in this particular race was this horse that had never been on the turf, who was well-bred for the turf and lightly raced, they made him 8-5, and they made Santre a solid favorite. Now, I'm looking at the name's Jimmy, who opened at 11 to 1. The name's Jimmy, he's found his place on the turf. So what does he do? He always goes to the front, and he sustains it. And by two races under his belt on the turf, he's going to improve today. He goes to the front and runs 47 and change for the half mile. And I went to the window. He won the race and paid $20. The player's horse was the horse first time out on the turf, well bred for the turf. The exacta paid $75 for every $2. Now that happens when you see a horse that's moved to the turf from the main track and suddenly he finds himself. You watch that kind of horse because he's going to win soon. And he's going to usually pay a good price. And the exactas usually pay fairly well. And the same thing happened the race after that. We won't go into it. It was the Rolling Green handicap at Golden Gate and the same kind of situation. Whereas the horse that's 9-1, just misses, and the favorite runs clean out, and the horse that was second favorite, second choice in the wagering, who was pointing toward the Rolling Green when he went against the favorite, went to the half, went three quarters of a mile, eased out of the race because he'd been laid off, and comes back today. He's going to be hard to beat because he's gone against the best last year. He had laid late. He'd gone against the best at Santa Anita and Hollywood Park last year. So this is the horse to beat. And the horse that ran second in the race just missed. But this horse had gone a mile and a 16th on the turf and 139 and change. Now you figure that out. If that's pace, that's pace. He was skipping. And he would have won that race too, but the jockey came up to the top of the stretch, backed off, and went outside, and just missed. But these are the kind of things you want to look for when you're looking at turf races. Now let's look at this race in the manual. Now this is a race for four-year-olds, and these horses haven't done very well. If you look at it, these horses haven't done very well lifetime. If we look at Just a Gigolo, he'd done most of his racing in Cadiana, so we can get rid of him. That's down below the border in Mexico. So we're going to get rid of him. The MVP, if you look, he's still a maiden. Now, you want to look at that, because some of these horses will come out on the turf, and they'll run fairly well in slow time on the turf as a maiden against winners. He went against winners, and this happened. You don't want to get hung up with that kind of horse, because somebody's going to stomp him. You know, and you're looking at him and say, well, he ran good against winners, you know, and he's got a chance here. And he's still a maiden, four-year-old maiden, running against winners. So you don't want to get tired with that kind of horse. So I get, plus he has a bad third fraction. If you look in here, you'll see that I've done the PBS numbers, and I gave him a ranking of 78. That's his third fraction ranking. And all the other horses are much better than that. Lacour's Guess is a throwout. Spirit Bay. Spirit Bay had done some running, but he'd had 20 starts and no wins, and he doesn't look fit to run with these today. He'd been running a little bit farther distances, at this distance and finishing usually 4 3/4, 6 1/2, like that back. So I didn't give him much of a chance today because I looked at the tandem, and in this tandem, there was High Very Touching and they had gone in good time at a mile and a 16th. Now, How Very Touching had just missed in his last time out. He had ran extremely well on the turf, showing improvements, continuously improving. And you look at Speak High, at that particular day, he was 41-1. How Very Touching was 7 3/4-1. And Speak High ran extremely well. He went to the half, eased out of the race beautiful. This is a horse that's improving. Duke's Lodge. Was in the same race with these horses, in the tandem. Didn't run well. He was 6 4 1/2 back. Sir Willoughby. Finished 6 5 3/4 or 5 1/2 back. Now look at Cranky Kid on the next page then. Cranky Kid stayed close to the pace. When he moved to the pace, he stayed close to the pace. And he has a good third fraction ranking. He has a 93 So he's a contender. The Brazilian, much improved. Much improved horse. Ran in good time, closing all the way on the turf. So this horse is a contender, and he's part of the tandem. So if you look at the tandems, you got two tandems, one with High Barrier Touching, one with Speak High, one with Cranky Kid, and the Brazilian. And those were the four horses I used, plus Duke's Lodge. Duke's Lodge in the second race back. If you look at the second race back, he had closed well. He ran even, pretty even in his last race, and he closed well, and I said he likes the turf. So I used, those were the five horses that I used.
Aaron?
Yes.
Can't tell, what were the beat lengths on How Barrier Touching before then your riding's over?
How Barrier Touching, if I remember correctly, he only finished about a length and a half back or something. He was really close to the pace at the finish. Yeah, he was really close to the pace in the finish. In fact, it was one of those kind of finishes where you had to really pick out the winner. From the photo finish, you know, you have to look at it the second time because they all came down to the wire in good time. Now, if you look at the bottom, look down at the energy factors. You got the energy factors there? If you look at these horses in a total energy, they're all very close together. Now, look at the ESP. All of them are sustained. Now look at the third fraction. How Barrier Touching has a 33.05. Speaking has a 33.02. And the rest of them get down in the 32s. Brazilian with a 32.99. Now since they run sustained, we know that on the turf, that the third fraction is very important. Because that usually determines the race right there. And these horses who can go early, they can go early and still sustain that kind of a pace, can win the race. Now, if you look at the final fractions, have you got the final fractions? Next page. Yeah. 63. Look at 63 in the big man. EXDC, page 63. Speak, 32.93. High Barrier Touching, 32.96, and the Brazilian, 32.90. The other two are far back. If you look at the Lady XDC, then you're looking at the winners. Let's look at Thermation on page 64. It comes up sustained. High Barrier Touching, Speak, and Brazil. Brazilian. And that's the way they ran. One, two, three. And you'll see this continuously, this happens on the turf. Because horses on the turf are not all beat up. They don't break out the gate and then start taking up. You know, I had a horse a few days ago on the main track, and the horse is going beautiful to the top of the stretch, and I look, he's going backwards fast and he's going forward. And that's happened so much on the main track. But on the turf, you very seldom see horses breaking down. If a horse, they're usually sound, well-preserved, and they run well. What the figures say, that's the way they run. I've been watching turf races at Hollywood Park because I want to play as many turf races as possible. Some days...